the healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. This was 4 years ago today.
At this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
It was shock and awe, and the vaunted regime of Saddam Hussein toppled in record time. Since then, the job of building a democracy in the middle of the Arab world has proven slow and difficult. President Bush said today,
4 years after this war began, the fight is difficult, but it can be won.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. House Democratic leader Steny Hoyer says with the war now entering its fifth year, longer than the U.S. fought in World War I, World War II, or Korea, it's past time for Congress to act. He says the House will vote this week to impose a deadline that combat forces come out in the next 18 months.
The justified response of the people's representatives to a policy that is failing and a president who insists that we must continue to stay the course.
The White House says any such arbitrary withdrawal deadline will be vetoed. Today in Baghdad, Shiite worshippers clean up at a mosque where a terror bomb exploded. 8 people died there. Military experts are saying the predictions are proven correct about the new strategy of take and hold the neighborhoods. Terrorists and insurgents are leaving Baghdad for other cities. Today in Kirkuk, a terror bombing killed 18, wounded 50. A 12-year-old boy still missing in some rugged North Carolina mountain terrain near the Blue Ridge Parkway. He's not just any 12-year-old. He is a Boy Scout and probably has more capability in the woods than the average kid.
My hope is that he knows what he's doing and that somewhere up there he's got himself a little fort built and a fire going to keep himself warm, which is what we get taught to do.
He's another Boy Scout who is offering to help in the search. Airbus has two of its new A380s visiting in Los Angeles and New York. It's the new up to 800-passenger double-decker super jumbo jet. CBS's Karen Brown.
So far, no U.S. airline has actually purchased one of these A380s. So truly they are coming here to try to boost U.S. interest, to try to show that it can function at U.S. Airports. It's really trying to get commercial interest from the U.S.
The giant plane doesn't fit today's terminals, which would have to be rebuilt at a cost of hundreds of millions of dollars per location. And the logistics of handling a hotel full of people from each of those planes, but the terminals and the baggage systems, a long way from being solved. The museum in Takayama, Japan, didn't have the gold bar under lock and key because they wanted people to have a chance to touch it. After all, it weighed 220 pounds. Who's going to grab it and run off with it? The answer? Three men who ran out the door like linebackers, shouldering people out of the way in broad daylight. Gold is selling at more than $6.50 an ounce today. That bar's worth more than $2.2 million. On Wall Street, the Dow is up almost 116 points. NASDAQ gained nearly 22. Oil, $56.59 a barrel, down 52 cents. This is CBS News.
Harold, we're lost. Stop and ask for directions.
We're not lost. I know exactly where we are.
You're lost.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Yeah, I'm not.
R2.
Well, I recognize that building. See, I told you, we're not lost.
You should recognize it. We've passed it 3 times.
Get a Garmin and get portable, affordable car navigation for any car. Gentle voice prompts automatically guide you to your destination.
Turn right on Highway 134. Continue southeast to destination.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. It just might save your marriage.
Harold!
The Joneses like things fast. They use Zantac. It's fast. Like last night after dinner.
Heartburn? Painful.
Zantac.
Thank you.
And then later.
Better? Completely. Zantac's fast.
The Joneses know Zantac quickly relieves the toughest heartburn. And more. Like before the Joneses family barbecue.
Ribs?
Heartburn.
Zantac.
First?
Prevents.
Amazing.
Zantac's fast.
Zantac before a meal prevents heartburn. Zantac after a meal quickly stops heartburn. Maximum strength Zantac. It's
fast.
Uses directed controls heartburn in 30 to 60 minutes.
Ever noticed how old smokers often look so raisined? There is science in that.
University of Michigan researcher Yolanda Helfrich set out to create a scale to measure how skin not normally exposed to the sun ages, and she discovered something.
There was an appreciable and significant difference between the skin of smokers and non-smokers.
In this study in the Archives of Dermatology, smoking sped up the aging process in people 45 and older. 65 and older, the effect was even more pronounced. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
If you go to a tanning salon to help protect yourself from skin cancer in the sun, might want to think twice. An international research study into the risks of artificial UV light finds the use of sunbeds before age 35 substantially increases the risks of developing melanoma. That's the most deadly skin cancer. The report's in the latest issue of the International Journal of Cancer. Best advice, use plenty of sunblock and enjoy the real sunshine. Vitamin D is good for you. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Have you heard the one about the guy who's looking for a good used car and actually finds one? No, really. That's because he got a Honda certified used car. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time. I know what's up.
Yeah? What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Glad you survived that St. Patrick's Day weekend and the peace marches that broke out all over the country. I'm recharged and reloaded and ready for another great week of talk radio. Hope you'll stay with us as much as you possibly can. We've got 3 hours to talk about what's going on in the news today. We'll do our very best. We kick it off every Monday with a look at the media's performance. Jameson Foser from Media Matters will join us in a moment. Coming up in half an hour, Karen Hooper wrote an excellent article for The Nation that explains the flap and the multi-sided controversy over HPV. That's the human papillomavirus. Yeah, papillomavirus. You know what I mean. And there is a new vaccine called Gardasil. And the evangelical community says that if you give it to teenage girls, it'll make them more promiscuous. And there's a community on the left that says Merck is a dangerous pharmaceutical company and we can't trust them. And many positions in between. Karen Hooper will detail that controversy for us coming up a little bit later this hour. Also on today's program, a great American. A woman who blew the whistle after she got fired from the FBI, where she worked as a translator. Sybil Edmonds has been subjected to a remarkable gag order from a federal court. And despite that, she continues to speak up. There is a petition drive to try to persuade John Conyers or Henry Waxman to invite Sybil Edmonds to come up on Capitol Hill and testify as to what she knows. And because of the gag order, she can't tell everything she knows, and she'll be assisted by Luke Ryland. He's an Australian journalist and investigative reporter who will join us from Down Under to tell us what Sybil is forbidden by a court. In fact, Reggie Walton, the guy who presided over the Scooter Libby trial, imposed this gag order on her. So we'll go into detail on that next hour. And you're welcome to visit their website, NationalSecurityWhistleblowersCoalition.org. NSWBC.org is the web address for that fine group. As usual, we make room for lots of your phone calls and call it the Free Speech Zone in our third hour. You can call in before then or at that time. It's your option. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. That's Peter at peterbcollins.com. Or if you're, you know, feeling a little silly, you can put humble host at peterbcollins.com.
and it will reach me just the same. Well, Jameson Fosser is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. Their powerful website's available to you 24/7 at mediamatters.org. And we like to take a look back before we forget about what happened last week at the performance of the media and give you some ideas about how they might be able to do things a little better. Jameson, J-Mo Fosser, welcome to our program today.
Thank you very much, Peter.
First up, I want to recommend the column that you write on Fridays, and it's entitled Media Matters, and you posted one on Friday that I think is dead on and ties together the weak performance of the Washington Post, both in journalism, in the news pages, and on their editorial page, and ties that together with the burgeoning scandal over Alberto Gonzalez, who does, frankly, appear to have lied to the United States Senate about why he fired those U.S. attorneys in various offices, a total of 8 around the country. And why don't you give us a quick sense of what you have framed here in this this powerful piece you wrote?
Sure. Well, the point of the column was that now that the media is actually paying attention to this prosecutor purge, which took them quite a while, the Post actually ran a couple editorials last week that weren't bad, that were highly critical of the Bush administration and said this seems to stink and we need to get some answers here. And on the face of them, they didn't seem that bad, but it reminded me of what we've seen from the Post editorial page throughout President Bush's time in office, where the Post editorial board has repeatedly criticized the president and his administration over a variety of scandals and over the administration's refusal to come clean about those scandals. And time again, the Post will editorialize that the administration seems to have done something wrong and they need to be forthcoming about it and tell the truth. And time again, the administration doesn't do that. And then the Post runs another editorial shaking their fist about what an outrage it is. But what they never do is call for the appointment of a special prosecutor.
Mm-hmm. And you contrast it with the way they operated toward the Clinton administration. Let me just read a couple of quick paragraphs here. Under pressure from the Post and other news organizations, President Clinton asked his Justice Department to appoint an outside investigator to examine the incredible charges that ultimately proved baseless. And by contrast, the Bush administration, blissfully free from pressure by new news organizations like the Post to appoint a special counsel, conducted an in-house investigation of the warrantless domestic spying operation. President Bush's Justice Department, led by his old Texas crony Alberto Gonzalez, undertook that probe. And then this conflict of interest developed where essentially Bush wouldn't give security clearances to the people Gonzalez needed to talk to conduct the investigation. And so very neatly, that brought it to an end.
Right. Bush actually personally interceded to quash this internal Justice Department investigation of this matter. And what we just found out last week in a report by Murray Wass in National Journal was that before Bush made that decision, Alberto Gonzalez had found out that Alberto Gonzalez was going to be a target of the investigation. Yet Gonzalez continued to advise Bush on how the investigation should proceed. Now, that's an obvious, glaring, huge, massive conflict of interest. The kind of which is exactly why we have special counsel investigations. And that contrast to Bill Clinton, it's worth pointing out that when the Washington Post called for a special counsel to investigate Whitewater, in that very same editorial, the Post acknowledged, and this is their words, that there wasn't a single credible charge that the Clintons had done anything wrong. They called for a special counsel even when they said there was no credible charge that the Clintons had done anything wrong. Fast forward to now, they say the Bush administration has done something wrong. They say the Bush administration has covered it up. They say the Bush administration fails to cooperate with investigations, doesn't tell the truth, and yet they won't call for a special counsel. They won't even explain why.
Mm-hmm. You also detail a bit of at least a reporting oversight, if not, you know, an outright attempt to suppress critical information. Last week, CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and like you, J-Mo, Melanie Sloan is a weekly regular on our program. We talk about various investigations that they have underway. But CREW issued a statement regarding this, and the Post has not found room to even reference it.
Well, when Melanie's on this week, I'm sure she can explain this better than I can. But the significance there is CREW has actually pointed out that there may be laws that were broken in Kyle Sampson's just by knowing that what his colleagues were going to testify before Congress to was false, he may have broken the law by keeping quiet about that. And so Crew has pointed out that there may be, despite the fact that the media is generally covering this as a political scandal, there may be legal issues involved. And the fact that the Post has ignored that in their news reporting and also in their editorial pages, I think makes it a little bit easier for their editorial board to not call for a special prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I bring up the topic of special prosecutors and the comparison to the Clinton years, because there actually is an allegation of illegality here, not just of political scandal and not just of something that seems unethical or unsavory, but there's actually an allegation by an organization that has been right about these things in the past of lawbreaking.
Well, and the clearest initial charge that I think can be easily sustained is that Gonzalez openly lied to the Senate Judiciary Committee in January of 2007.
Right. There certainly is every indication that Gonzalez and other Justice Department officials told Congress things that just weren't true.
Mm-hmm. Now, JMO, as to the Washington Post, our colleague and another sometime contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show is Robert Parry, P-A-R-R-Y, and at his website, consortiumnews.com, he is calling for the firing of the Washington Post editorial page editor, Fred Hyatt. And if people want to read this, consortiumnews.com has a lengthy article that describes how what Hyatt has been writing in the editorial pages doesn't even live up to the facts that have been published in the news columns. And he repeatedly has mischaracterized Joe Wilson. He has, drank the Kool-Aid and issued the talking points that Valerie Plame Wilson wasn't really covert. We've completely eviscerated that false argument at this point, and yet the Post continues to tilt at those windmills, and Fred Hyatt still has a job.
Right. The Post editorial page has long been a defender of Scooter Libby's on the Plame leak situation. There's actually another interesting comparison to the Clinton investigations here. When the third and final independent counsel who investigated Whitewater closed up shop and didn't indict anyone, the Post wrote an editorial taking that as further evidence of the Clinton's guilt. When Scooter Libby was actually convicted by a jury, the Post wrote this petulant editorial that sort of suggested that it was a bogus conviction. So that's an interesting contrast. Perry points out a lot of things that the Post editorial page has gotten wrong on that case. We've, at Media Matters, done several items where we show that the statements of fact in Post editorials are directly contradicted by statements of fact that the newspaper in its news pages has reported,
mm-hmm.
and that there's a pretty glaring contrast there. When we pointed it out, the Post has basically responded by saying that
Fred Hyatt reads the Washington Times.
They haven't actually admitted to that, but they sort of dance around it, saying, well, the news pages have one point of view and the editorial pages have another point of view. But what we've highlighted aren't differences of points of view. They're statements of fact. Somebody's right and wrong about these things. And it's really been glaring to me that the Post news pages have kind of kept quiet about this. The Post news reporters and editors on the news side, as opposed to the editorial side, have kept quiet, which I think is really a dereliction of duty here. If the Washington Post editorial page, which is extremely influential, is saying things that are flat out false about matters of war and peace, I think the Washington Post news pages have an editorial have an obligation to speak out about that and to correct that and to do some reporting on it, because that's something hugely significant in terms of shaping where we're going as a country.
We got to take a break, and we'll return with Jameson Foser from MediaMatters.org as we continue. We'll talk about their review, their analysis of the Sunday talk show guests, still conservative and still not much response from the networks. And if there's time, a screaming clip from Glenn Beck, just to let you know what the right-wing nuts are up to. That's straight ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
The Peter B. Collins Show, coming up about 10 minutes from now. Karen Hooper, who writes for The Nation, explains the multi-sided controversy over the HPV vaccine. We continue now with Jameson J-Mo Foser from MediaMatters.org. If you've never been to their website, I want you to change that next time you're online. It's a powerful place where you can see a lot of interesting information about what goes on in the media and how they get it wrong. And Media Matters is a tremendous truth squad that does a great job to help hold our media more accountable. J-Mo, next I want to talk about the report that your colleague Paul Waldman, who alternates with you here on our show on Mondays, I believe authored and was published about a week and a half ago regarding the Sunday talk shows. And first I'll make a confession that I rarely watch the Sunday gas bags. I work on Sunday mornings, and then by the time I'm finished, I just don't want to listen to all that crap. I occasionally TiVo, one of the shows, if I think something major might occur. But I pass on them partly for the reason stated in the analysis, that they're not balanced shows for the most part, and George Stephanopoulos got higher marks for improvements from Media Matters in terms of balancing the guests, particularly since last November's election caused a bit of a tidal change in Washington. But to date, the networks appear to be just ignoring this rather remarkable study conducted by Media Matters.
Well, NBC is ignoring it, and ABC hasn't said much, though, again, as you mentioned, since the November election, ABC has actually been pretty much evenly balanced, and we commend them for that. CBS actually has responded. The executive producer of Face the Nation responded to us via a McClatchy newspaper's article, and she defended the imbalance on Face the Nation by saying it doesn't matter whether Secretary of State Condi Rice is a conservative or a liberal, she's the Secretary of State. Now, I actually find Pratt's defense more troubling than the actual imbalance itself. Pratt's comments that it doesn't matter whether Condi Rice is a conservative or a liberal, she's the Secretary of State, and therefore doesn't need to be balanced by anybody. That suggests that the role of the Sunday shows and the media in general is just to be a conduit for the government to tell the public whatever it wants without any opposition.
Mm-hmm.
That's deeply troubling to me. That's not what I think these shows should be about. And the fact that she would take that Pratt would take that attitude about it is pretty revealing. I should mention that Media Matters has never said, and I wouldn't say now, that every segment of every show needs to be perfectly balanced 50-50.
Sure.
What we've
mm-hmm.
looked at is the data over a large span of time and said, the cumulative numbers show this significant imbalance, and that's where we're calling for a rough balance, is over time, not a precise 50-50 breakdown on every show. But what the data shows is that isn't happening. And
it's so lopsided that nobody has to suggest that every show needs to be neatly balanced. It's the long-term impact of eliminating progressive and other voices from outside the administration.
Right, and that's something that Pratt seems to be endorsing here, and that's pretty troubling.
Yeah. All right, now let's beat up on Glenn Beck. First, a clip from Howie Kurtz on CNN.
Joining CNN's headline news 10 months ago, radio talk show host Glenn Beck has been getting mired in one controversy after another.
And let's first note that this is CNN promoting a CNN guy.
Radio City in Midtown Manhattan. And up by the doors, where the office kitchen is, in Braille, on the wall, it says kitchen. A blind person would have to be feeling all of the walls to find kitchen.
Just to piss them off?
I'm going to put in Braille on the coffee pot. I'm going to put pot is hot. Wow.
The Iraq Study Group recommends a new course of action in Iraq. I like to call it Operation White Flag.
Just the other day on his radio show on Premier Networks, Beck called Hillary Clinton a stereotypical, it's an unflattering word starting with B. Earlier, I spoke with him from New York.
I find it very offensive. I find it extraordinarily offensive in rap music, and Al Sharpton and I had an hour-long conversation. We both agree on the N-word. I agree on the K-word. I agree on the F-word. However, when you're having a discussion about words, can you not utter the words in an adult conversation? And need I remind everyone, you can call me all kinds of names. Racist is a word that I find very offensive. Bigot, I find very offensive. I'm not a bigoted man. I'm not a racist. I'm a guy who asks honest questions.
Well, that's enough of that promotion, cross-promotion from CNN to CNN Headline News. They really are going a long way to try to rationalize their hiring of this guy and trying to mainstream his out-of-line remarks.
They have, and I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago when a blogger employed by John Edwards was discovered to have written some intemperate things. CNN was all in high dungeon about that, and Wolf Blitzer kind of indignantly asked John Edwards about the comments and that this employee of his had made prior to joining him. Well, CNN hired Glenn Beck knowing that this was a man who has fantasized on air about killing Michael Moore. That's who they decided to hire. And predictably, he's behaved consistently with that. He called Hillary Clinton, you know, the name that clip suggested. He suggested to a Muslim congressman that the congressman needed to prove that he's on our side.
Right. We got to stop there. Jameson Fosser, MediaMatters.org. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, ThinkerToys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, ThinkerToys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from the Left Coast, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, a great American, a whistleblower, got fired from the FBI. Sybil Edmonds will tell part of her story. Some of it she can't tell because of a federal gag order. We'll describe that for you. And we'll tell you about the online petition that you can support to try to get Henry Waxman or John Conyers to call a hearing and subpoena Sybil Edmonds to testify about what she knows. Ah, but first, our music of the moment is by Berlin. It's called Sex. And that's just one of the objections that some people have to the new HPV vaccine. Joining us now, a woman who writes for The Nation magazine, one of my favorites. My only complaint is it comes too often and I have trouble keeping up with it. Karen Hoopert. She's a freelance writer based in Baltimore, the author of a book called Home Fires Burning, Married to the Military for Better or Worse. That's out from Ballantine Books. Karen Hoopert, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for the article you wrote, because you really explained to somebody like me who's been struggling a little bit to keep up with the disparate groups who are opposed to mandating the application of the new HPV virus vaccine to 9 to 12-year-old girls. As I watched these news accounts kind of dribble out, it was hard to really get a comprehensive view. And in language that I found very easy to understand, you explained the array of different groups who have come out more or less opposed to at least the requirement that young girls be vaccinated against HPV. So thank you for an excellent article, and I want to recommend it to people. It's in the current issue of The Nation, probably available at the website, thenation.com.
Thanks. That was actually that same confusion is what sort of motivated me to write the piece, actually, because I was similarly perplexed, kept hearing a lot of different stories. This is good, this isn't good. People whose criticism or skepticism kind of made a little bit of sense to me, and then some people who I thought was way off base. So it seemed like things were kind of all over the map, and I needed to clarify in my own head where the opposition was coming from and why, and sort through all the rhetoric to see what was really up with this vaccine.
And first of all, a baseline, what is HPV? It's the sexually transmitted human papillomavirus. Now, in The Nation, it's the first time I've seen papilloma and virus spelled as one word.
Yeah, some publications do it one way, some do it the other, but I think both are accurate.
Okay.
It doesn't really make much sense to run the two words together when you use the acronym HPV, but whatever, that's how it's done sometimes.
I'm with you there, but, and the editors aren't here, so we'll just slime them in their absence.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what is HPV, and what does it lead to?
It's a virus that's extremely common. In fact, the CDC estimates that about 80% of women have had it by the time they're adults. And it's sexually transmitted. It's usually fairly benign. Lots of women have it. They don't even know they have it. Lots of men have it, never get any symptoms. And it just gets passed around. But in a couple hundred thousand, it kind of crops up as a persistent infection that has to get treated. And then in about 10,000 women a year, they get cervical cancer from this, and about 3,700 die from the cervical cancer every year. So this vaccine, which was which is being marketed by Merck, is treats about 70% of the viruses that are two strains of the virus that cause 70% of HPV, and then they also treat two other strains of the virus that cause genital warts. So, and the vaccine is offered in a three series of shots that cost about $360. And it's being recommended that it be given to girls between 9 and 11 because it's only effective before girls are sexually active.
I see. Now let me ask you a little more about HPV itself. Is it a single episode? Is it something that you can ping-pong back and forth with a partner because it is sexually transmitted, and therefore you could have repeated infections, or is it once and you're done?
You can have it repeated times, and it's a couple of different strains, too, that can go around. And, in fact, your question is a good one, because Merck has also has done some of the testing to try to introduce this vaccine for boys as well, but that hasn't yet passed the FDA's approval. So.
And do males develop any symptoms? I mean, I guess genital warts, but not cervical.
Yes, the genital warts part, but not the cervical cancer, and that's part of what makes this trickier and a bit of a harder sell for boys and men, because what you're vaccinating them against is spreading the disease to women for whom it is much more serious.
Mm-hmm.
So for those reasons, it's really not available for boys yet, and, you know, remains to be seen whether that's going to get approval or not.
Okay, so you write, today, as 31 state legislatures consider mandating the vaccine for middle school girls, skepticism about the wisdom of embarking on this swift and widespread inoculation program has bubbled up from critics who span the political spectrum. These strange bedfellows include Christian conservatives and their abstinence-only ilk, who have long argued that safe sex encourages profligate sex, a slew of big pharma critics who see how Merck, which stands to make $4 billion a year on the vaccine, is angling to corner this huge new vaccine market, the growing anti-vaccine movement, which objects to all such school entry requirements, the parental rights folks with a libertarian strain who bridle at any mandates regarding their children's health, and a smattering of women's health advocates who worry that the pace of the vaccine's introduction is jeopardizing its ultimate success. So, Karen, who does favor the mandated application of the HPV vaccine?
Well, there are some public health folks out there who still think it's important to go ahead mandating this vaccine. A lot of public health officials think the vaccine is a good idea and are certain that it's safe and believe that it ultimately ought to be mandated, but they are really kind of quibbling with the pace of the vaccine's introduction. They don't really think the mechanisms are in place yet to get all the vaccinations to the right groups, and it's just the systems aren't in place, basically, and also they don't think they have done the kind of public education to make this sort of widely accepted. But there are those out there who think that it's important that it be mandated, because if it's not mandated, then those who get the vaccine are going to be basically those who can afford to pay for the vaccines. Since, like, mandating it is kind of what puts all the mechanisms in place. That means insurance is more likely to cover it, Medicaid will cover it, the kind of federal health programs that pay for free vaccines will, you know, have it and make it available, and it'll be free. So that's kind of what's driving those who want to mandate it quickly in the public health field.
And what is their rush? I mean, I certainly understand that with up to 4,000 women dying every year, this is not something to be, you know, treated lightly. At the same time, we do have protocols and systems in place, not foolproof to be sure. Ask a Vioxx plaintiff. But, you know, we do have processes to test these things and to roll them out after we are satisfied that, you know, the side effects are limited and that the benefit outweighs any potential risks, and those risks take time to surface through the the testing and evaluation procedures.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Although, again, almost all of the kind of major public health organizations, like the American Academy of Pediatrics, Society of Adolescent Medicine, American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, they all aren't taking issue with the safety of the vaccine. In fact, all of those organizations recommend that girls get inoculated for this. What they're objecting to is that the kind of logistics aren't in place for making it widely available yet. So that's, I think, an important distinction, because, again, it's not so much the safety it's not the safety at all that any of these groups are objecting to. They feel like the safety data is there, it's good, that this is a good vaccine, it will do good things. They just feel like they're going to get better compliance and it'll be an easier process if they have a little bit more time to educate the public and to make sure that the kind of pipeline and delivery of the vaccine itself is in place.
How long has Merck been doing its trials on the product they're going to trademark as Gardasil?
I'm not sure how long the trial is. That's a good question. I'm not sure what their FDA process was. I know it's been used. It's also available in Australia and Europe already as well. So it's not, I don't think it's super new, but again, you know, I mean, it is, the scale of this is something significant and different that they're asking, you know, that all of these girls get vaccinated. And as you noted, Merck, which is the maker of Vioxx, has a really bad reputation on the heels of that arthritis drug. So that's made a lot of people very nervous and very skeptical. And I think not doing its cause any good. Merck has heavily lobbied, and it surfaced in the press that they have ties, for example, to the Texas governor. They donated to his campaign.
Rick Perry.
Rick Perry, yep. And that his ex-chief of staff lobbies for Merck. So there's been things that have surfaced in the press that those who are, you know, rightly skeptical of pharmaceutical companies' drive for profits and their record of sometimes compromising public safety, it makes them nervous, and I think that that is that's justified. And also, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that Merck stands to make a ton of money from this. Some estimates are about $4 billion a year from selling this drug, and that's only with it going to the girls. If indeed it does get FDA approval and we start doing it to boys as well, then, you know, it's doubling. And further complicating things, another pharmaceutical company, GlaxoSmithKline, is hot on its heels with a similar vaccine. So it wants to kind of get a corner of the market very quickly. So, you know, there are reasons to, you know, be attentive to how this is being introduced. And you know, so, you know, there is, I think the skepticism is legitimate.
Yeah. We're talking with Karen Hooper, who writes for The Nation, and this powerful article, which I think really helps you understand the array of different interest groups that appear to be opposed to the mandatory delivery of this vaccine to every 9 to 11-year-old girl in the country. We have the evangelical right, who are, you know, in favor of abstinence on one side, and I guess the homeopathic left, skeptical of drug companies on the left. And as we go to a break here, I want you to listen to this ode to abstinence. This is Roy Zimmerman. It's called Abstain With Me. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, baby, looking at you tonight. There's something I'd like to do tonight. And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby, all night long. Come over and refrain with me, baby, all night long. I'm gonna wanna jump your bones. I'm gonna have to dump that Jones. So come on now, get stoned in lover's lane with me. Abstain with me.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Oh, baby.
seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testified lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can be.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And heading into the break, that was Roy Zimmerman from the CD called Faulty Intelligence. Abstain With Me, it's called. And now we got Tone Loke working the wild thing. As we talk about a serious subject here, a sexually transmitted disease called the HPV, human papillomavirus, which 80% of women are infected with at some point in their lives, and it leads to about 10,000 cases a year of cervical cancer, and about 4,000 or less women die from that condition. The proposal is to give a new drug, a vaccine called Gardasil, manufactured by Merck, to every 9 to 11-year-old girl in the country as the only way of really vaccinating the entire population going forward. And as you mentioned in this powerful article, Karen Hooper, we have on the right the cultural conservatives who basically believe that by enhancing the health of these young women, it's going to encourage them to have more premarital sex. And I do understand where people start to think that way, but isn't it more important to inoculate this population than try to control their sexual behavior?
Yeah, I think it's a near impossible task to inoculate. I mean, to control their behavior. And I have to say, I loved that song that you played.
Isn't that something?
That was great. I'm going out to get the CD.
Well,
I think that. In this case, this is perhaps kind of the most absurd manifestation of the argument that you know, safe sex encourages more sex. Because with this vaccine, I mean, you're not even talking about simply talking about, like, stopping teens from having sex. But eventually, I mean, we kind of assume eventually most people do have sex. And so, you know, eventually every girl is at risk of acquiring this. So it's a strange kind of argument because, you know, first of all, most, you know, girls will get this at 11 before they're, or 9, before they're really even thinking about sex. They'll probably have long forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is something that, again, even the most conservative family with the most conservative values pretty much does assume that their girls will grow up and they will get married someday and they will have sex. So again, this is something that can help them from getting the virus and potentially cancer. So,
well, and I can respect people whose religious or other values lead them to have great self-control and self-denial. But that doesn't, you know, permit them to go into self-righteousness. And as you describe in the article, there's some people who will attack those who say, you cite State Senator, Illinois State Senator Debbie Halverson, who is co-sponsor of a bill in that state to require the vaccinations. And she acknowledged publicly that she had HPV and put herself through a hysterectomy because of precancerous cells. And then some of the religious right people start to judge her and question her sexual behavior, choices that she's made, and yada, yada, yada. Now, not only do I find that, you know, invasive, but it's counterproductive to any rational discussion of these issues.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was, you know, I think it was way off base for them to be doing that. And, you know, I think it's a strange kind of argument, because part of what they're arguing as well is that that if you get this disease, it's your fault. Again, you know, that's and one of the ways that they've kind of talked about that in more muted terms was a California state senator said that he kind of objected to the immunization because it was the result of lifestyle decisions and not because of casual contagion, and that therefore we shouldn't mandate that.
Well, let's identify that Neanderthal. It's George Runner. I think he's from San Bernardino area.
Yes, yes. And, you know, so what that's really doing is trying to distinguish between the deserving ill and the undeserving, and it doesn't really take into consideration people who make lots of lifestyle decisions that affect their health, like smoking, for
mm-hmm.
example, is the most obvious one, drinking, lots of other things, overeating and developing diabetes. I mean, you know, there's a host of illnesses that are arguably related to lifestyle decisions. So it's, you know, it's a strange argument to be making. But again, it's really because it's about sex.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, really why everyone is so squeamish and up in arms. That's sort of the subtext of many of the objections to this.
Karen, quoting again from your article in The Nation, enter the anti-vaccine groups, which had been waiting in the wings for the big break that finally arrived with Merck's public whipping. These groups, an eclectic mix of alternative medicine proponents, conspiracy theorists, and libertarians, form a growing contingent of parents who are refusing to vaccinate their children against any diseases. Now, I have concerns about that, but likewise, you know, I learned recently that today's crop of babies will be subjected to as many as 30 different vaccines before they're 5 years old. That's an exponential increase from when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a lot of vaccines, and I think that, you know, I think parents are concerned, and I think that one of the things that's difficult when you're arguing for this, and this is one of the things I thought interesting, one of the public health officials I spoke with, he said that, you know, it's a little bit hard to justify vaccines right now, partly because they've been so effective, and they've made so many diseases like polio and such obsolete in this country that it's hard for parents to remember or to you know, really feel like how vital these vaccines are. So a lot of families are deciding not to vaccinate their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very emotional issue, I think, partly also because the parents that do take that risk and inoculate their kids then feel like they're taking the risk and they're actions by vaccinating their kids are offering protection to these other kids, but the other kids aren't sharing in the risk. I mean, there's a lot of debates. You hear it on playgrounds, schoolyards. Yeah. You know, a lot of parents go back and forth with this issue, and it's very much, I think, a hot topic of debate.
And there's more here than we have time to discuss on the radio. I want to direct people to thenation.com, or go ahead and buy a copy of The Nation and read Karen Hooper's article, Who's Afraid of Gardasil? Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, where Sabelle Edmonds joins us next.
It's time to start talking about the 2008 presidential elections. Here, Monday nights between 10 and 11 p.m. with your host, me, Todd Hurlbert, Alan Vasquez, and our show, The Week in Politics. We will talk about and talk with the Democratic and Republican candidates for the presidential election. Please join us in our effort to educate our audience about the issues. See you there.
We want to welcome Assemblywoman Anna Caballero back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We are so glad to have you on. We were at the victory party for you, and you were so happy, and rightfully so.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right up until you asked me to leave the party. You and Lucy, that was it.
Well, it was the dancing on the table that got you. The TV cameras were there. It just didn't look right.
I got you.
The show on KRXA 540 AM.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The fourth anniversary of war in Iraq.
The fight is difficult, but it can be won.
Will Alberto Gonzalez survive?
We hope so. He has the confidence of the president.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
4 years from the day he launched the U.S. war in Iraq, President Bush still sees tough sledding ahead.
Prevailing in Iraq is not going to be easy.
He says his new strategy still needs time to take effect.
And there will be good days, and there will be bad days.
But in his view, the worst thing Congress can do is to set a deadline for withdrawal.
That may be satisfying in the short run, but I believe the consequences for American security would be devastating.
In an 8-minute statement to reporters, Mr. Bush said the war can be won if we have the courage and resolve to see it through. Mark Knoller, CBS News, The White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Democrats say this anniversary is a clear marker the war in Iraq has gone on too long, and they say they will try to end what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calls an open-ended commitment. Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says later this week the House will vote to attach a firm 18-month deadline for troop withdrawal to a bill to fund the war.
Let us respond to the plea of the American people for a new direction in Iraq.
A measure that will trigger a major battle with the White House, which needs the money but firmly rejects the strings Democrats want to attach to it. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Apparently another hanging is imminent in Baghdad. The Iraqi government today asked U.S. authorities for custody of Saddam Hussein's vice president, Taha Yassin Ramadan, who's sentenced to die for his role in the 1982 killings of 148 Shiites in the town of Dujail. Now this.
Brace yourselves, because I'm going to bring up a subject nobody likes to think about, buying a used car. I know, painful. Well, I've got a painless solution. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. They'll even provide a Carfax vehicle history report. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Grainger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems from tempering valves to pressure reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The future of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez seems more clouded than ever. Politico.com reports Republican officials are looking at the behest of the White House for a possible successor to Gonzalez. Here's what White House spokesman Tony Snow said today when asked if Gonzalez will stay on.
We hope so. He has the confidence of the president, but I do not. It is a pure and simple matter. Nobody's prophetic enough to know what the next 21 months hold.
As Congress tries to pin down whether politics played a role in the firings of eight U.S. attorneys, the Justice Department is turning over 2,000 pages of internal emails, and President Bush's lawyer Fred Fielding talks with congressional leaders tomorrow about conditions for providing White House documents and witnesses. In the mountains of western North Carolina, the search for a missing Boy Scout continued for a third day. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula tells us there's no shortage of volunteers.
Many private citizens have come here to the staging area at their own expense, giving of their own time with tracking dogs. This is very, very rugged terrain. In fact, many people who've gone out searching have told me that someone could be just 20 or 30 feet away from you, and you would never see them.
12-year-old Michael Aubrey disappeared from his troop's campsite on Saturday afternoon. Overnight temperatures have dropped into the 20s. An official at the Food and Drug Administration predicts more cats and dogs will die until all the tainted pet food is recalled. A company that makes pet food sold under dozens of different labels recalled millions of tons of its cuts and gravy variety after at least 9 pets suffered kidney failure and died. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus on the implications.
This is, of course, a PR nightmare for the pet food industry. Menu Foods, which is the company involved in the recall, says that it's going to cost the company anywhere between $26 and $34 million. But Wall Street didn't seem bothered by it. In fact, shares of Menu Foods actually rallied.
The investigation focuses on one ingredient, wheat gluten, as a possible source of the contamination. There's late word that a soldier at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for his role in the deaths of 3 Iraqi detainees. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Harold, we're lost. Stop and ask for directions.
We're not lost. I know exactly where we are.
You're lost.
I'm not.
R2.
I'm not.
R2.
Well, I recognize that building. See, I told you, we're not lost.
You should recognize it. We passed it 3 times.
Get a Garmin and get portable, affordable car navigation for any car. Gentle voice prompts automatically guide you to your destination.
Turn right on Highway 134. Continue southeast to destination.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. It just might save your marriage.
Harold!
The Joneses like things fast. They use Zantac. It's fast, like last night after dinner.
Heartburn?
Painful.
Zantac.
Thank you.
And then later.
Better?
Completely.
Zantac's fast.
The Joneses know Zantac quickly relieves the toughest heartburn and more, like before the Joneses family barbecue.
Ribs?
Heartburn.
Zantac.
First?
Prevents.
Amazing.
Zantac's fast.
Zantac before a meal prevents heartburn. Zantac after a meal quickly stops heartburn. Maximum strength Zantac. It's
fast.
Uses directed, controls heartburn in 30 to 60 minutes.
A challenge from within the...
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. This hour, we're going to pull back the curtain on spies and spooks and whistleblowers who try to do the right thing when they discover shenanigans in our national security apparatus. Over the past few years, I've come to know and respect the woman we're going to talk with this hour, Sybelle Edmonds, who was working at the FBI as a translator. She was hired shortly after 9/11. And 6 to 9 months later, some problems developed. She went to her boss to discuss them, explain them, try to resolve them. And in short order, she found herself dismissed from her position at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And since then, she has been subjected to a bizarre federal ritual, a gag order that was issued under a very murky state secret privilege, which does not appear to be founded in law. And the man who imposed that on her is none other than Judge Reggie Walton, who people know more recently as the judge who presided over the Scooter Libby trial. Sybil Edmonds is a woman that I have great respect for, and I don't believe she should be gagged. In fact, I want to join and ask you to join in the online petition requesting that Congressman Henry Waxman and John Conyers, call a hearing and subpoena her to testify and give her the authority to do so, because there's a lot she could tell us about some of the intercepts that she translated related to 9/11 and some of the other things that she discovered while she was working at the FBI. Sybil Edmonds, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. Always good to be on your show. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's hard for me to actually find the words, but every time I talk to you, I come away so struck by your understanding of what it truly means to be an American and how that conflicts with the way you've been treated and the manner in which your voice has been, in my view, ruthlessly suppressed at a time when we really need to hear the truth about what you know and how you were treated when you attempted to blow the whistle at the FBI.
Right, Peter, as you know, the ACLU declared me as the most gagged American citizen in the U.S. history. They invoked the state secrets privilege that you mentioned twice in my case. They have issued various gag orders. They even issued gag order in May 2004 on Congress, and this is being the Department of Justice first started under the Attorney General then, Ashcroft, and then later by Alberto Gonzalez. And basically what it does, these gag orders, state secrets privilege, they basically deprive you from your First Amendment right, from your Fourth Amendment right, and from your Fifth Amendment right. And they are not doing it to some suspected terrorist or what they call some foreign terrorist. They are doing it to an American citizen who reported wrongdoing, serious confirmed wrongdoing, to the appropriate channels, by the way. As you know, the Department of Justice's Inspector General's Office issued a report a year and a half ago that indicated my report, and they basically said her allegations were confirmed by other witnesses and evidence and documents, etc. And also we had two senators, bipartisan Senator Grassley and Senator Leahy, who publicly confirmed my case and my reports. And this was the statement by Senator Grassley, who said even the FBI management confirmed her reports. So you're not looking again, as I said, with these phony, quasi cases that they usually refer to as, oh, we do this thing only to suspect terrorists, etc. This is what they're doing inside our country. This is what they're doing to an American citizen, and this is what they are getting away with, both in courts and up to this point with Congress. And we have been fighting, I have been fighting to reverse this, because what they are doing is not constitutional. It's against the Bill of Rights. Plus, covering up these reports absolutely damages our national security. So what we did, and this is not actually me, 30-plus organizations came together, and these organizations include the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, Project on Government Oversight, POGO, Government Accountability Project, YAB, National Coalition Against Censorship, Liberty Coalition, and it's transpartisan. You have 30-plus organizations. And these organizations are involved in either civil liberties issues or in whistleblowers issues or privacy issues. And they put together this petition, this joint petition, that they served Chairman Waxman of the House Government Reform Committee 2 weeks ago. And this petition, going from these 30 organizations, says Chairman Waxman, it's been 5 years, and there are other witnesses, there are other FBI witnesses who want to testify in this case, because this case involves some criminal activities by certain people within our own government.
Mm-hmm.
We are not talking about only terrorist activities here. And we wanted to have open public hearing on this case. So we served the committee, we served the chairman, Chairman Waxman, with this petition. He was served, and then these organizations put out press releases saying this is what we did. And since then, we have had 15, 20,000 Americans who have signed the petition. We have had thousands of people who've been calling, and we are still asking them to call, basically urging the committee, and as the name of the committee suggests, this is the Government Reform Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And these wrongdoings have been, have occurred within our government agencies by our government officials. And they have the power because Chairman Waxman has been great. Before they became the majority, they actually, the committee and the chairman promised me back then, he was not the chairman, saying, we want to have a hearing, and the only reason we are not having these hearings on your case is because the Republicans are blocking us from having this hearing. Well, that obstacle has been removed.
Yes, it has.
Okay, so now we are going and saying, please fulfill your promise. Please do what you told us you were going to do. Granted, this is not a glitzy case on the media. The mainstream media, as you know, Peter, has been absolutely awful with these cases. So it's not a glitzy case, and it's not a really partisan case either. I mean, it involves certain corrupt individuals, and some of these people have been within our government agencies in various positions since 1989. So it's not a really partisan issue, although a lot of it falls within this administration, and the gag orders have been issued by this administration.
Mm-hmm.
So we are saying, Chairman Waxman, do what you're supposed to be doing, and we are waiting to hear back. I'm hopeful, and we have given them until the end of this week to come out and publicly commit to hold these, and I'm going to emphasize this word, public hearings. Peter, I have testified behind closed doors several times.
Mm-hmm.
I have testified inside SCIF, these secure facilities where you can talk about classified stuff. We are talking about public hearings, and we have a list of several veteran FBI agents and managers who want to testify and tell the truth. They want to present their case related to my case and present the Congress and the American public with documents.
And tell us where we can go if we want to sign the petition online. And also, if you have handy Congressman Waxman's phone number, let's give that out.
Well, you're going to have a guest, Luke Ryland.
Mm-hmm.
He has been leading that action campaign that is sponsored by 30-plus organizations.
Right.
And he's going to give out all that information. I don't have it right now in front
okay.
of me.
Well, he's going to join us right after the break here.
Absolutely.
So we will get that.
And the petition, you know, people have signed it. We have already delivered the petition. At this stage, we just want people to keep calling Congressman Chairman Waxman and Chairman Conyers and say, please come out publicly and commit publicly that you're going to have this hearing, because they have already said, yes, there needs to be a hearing. Now we want them to say it publicly. So it has come to a point where we just basically need to bombard them with calls and emails and tell them, do the right thing and do the right thing now.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll get that information coming up from Luke Ryland. He'll be joining us from Australia right after this break. And if you want to talk with Sybil Edmonds or Luke Ryland, you can get on the line in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And when we get the phone number here, I'll look it up myself here for Congressman Waxman during the break. I'd love to have you make a phone call there today or tomorrow and lend your voice to the demand for Sybil Edmonds' public testimony. We'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew, a side of couscous and a baba ganoush. Yeah, open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the latest. And the mess that we have a problem in Carmel Valley. This is Ken Cannon at Tosierra. It's a truck that went off the roadway and landed in a creek. CHP on the way to the scene there. So this is just coming in. And although they say this was reported about an hour ago, we just don't have any updated information, but it is still an ongoing situation. Prudel, northbound 101, the ramp to San Miguel Canyon Road, the westbound ramp. We have a crash there. This is a solo car that went off the roadway, and the CHP is, in fact, on scene. Also want to take a look at Salinas, southbound 101 before Main Street. A truck lost a load of aluminum cans in the lanes. This report brought to you by Standard Pacific Homes. Buy a spacious new home at Sorrento in Salinas. When it comes to buying a home, that's ideal for your lifestyle. It's bigger, it's better. Call 831-770.
Produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, and Brian Urban is taking your calls today at 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Sabelle Edmonds about her case, and as you've heard, she speaks very articulately, but there are a lot of things that she can't say because of the gag order issued under this, as I mentioned, a murky state secret privilege, which has been asserted by the Bush administration more times in the last 5 years than it was in the entire century or so that it existed prior to that. And I want to give out the phone number here because I looked it up. If you want to call Henry Waxman's Washington office, it's 202-225-3976. I'll repeat that, 202-225-3976. And you can try his Los Angeles office because here at 421 Pacific time, they're still open. And that number is 323-651-1040, 323-651-1040. And Sabelle Edmonds remains with us. We're joined by Luke Ryland from Australia, who is an investigative journalist. Luke, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And if you're an advocate for Sabelle Edmonds, then I already like you, Luke.
Oh, that's very good. Unfortunately, I missed the first segment of the show, so I'm not sure exactly what you've spoken about so far.
Well, we gave a little background for people who might not have been familiar with Sybil's case. I've talked with her many times over the last 3 years or so, and I always like to recap for people who may not know the background. So that's pretty much what we covered. Luke, what I wanted to ask you for first is the website where people could add their names to the petition.
It's called Let Sybil Edmonds Speak, and you can find that at letsybiledmondsspeak.blogspot.com.
Okay, and Edmonds has an O in it, E-D-M-O-N-D-S, Edmonds Speak, and that's .blogspot.com.
That's right.
Okay.
In fact, we're not asking people to sign the petition anymore. Sybil may have mentioned that we're asking people to call those offices tomorrow, or as you say, this afternoon, if in the last half an hour, if offices are open, and then we'll have the final push tomorrow trying to swamp those offices so that we can have open hearings into Sybil's case.
And based on what you've been able to ferret out, what would occur if Sybil Edmonds were permitted to testify in public under oath?
Well, firstly, we'd see a lot of senior American politicians and statesmen go to prison for a long time. Names that you'll be familiar with, some of them, particularly the neocons, Richard Perle, Douglas Feith, Mark Grossman, who was the number three guy at State Department under Richard Armitage,
right.
And, of course, some members of Congress as well, most notably Dennis Hastert.
The former Speaker. And from what I've been able to read online, there was a great post at Daily Kos on Friday. There are some linked subgroups that most members of the public aren't aware of that link some of the factions that are influential in the government of the nation of Turkey with people who are clearly very powerful in our government here in the United States.
That's right. There's an organization called the American-Turkish Council, which is sort of the prime body that's been investigated by the FBI and the CIA for years, going back to 1996. Sybil calls it, in the Vanity Fair article about her case, she says it was a front for criminal activity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the main one. There are a couple of other subsidiary Turkish-related organizations. But Sybil's case also touches very heavily on AIPAC.
Mm-hmm.
AIPAC is the Israeli lobby.
Yes, we talk about them quite a bit, American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee.
That's right, I'm sure you do. Sybil intimates that AIPAC and the American-Turkish Council are both essentially front groups for a larger criminal network that deals with illegal arms trafficking and other illegal activities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to be an explosive case if we can get the hearings.
Right.
Sybil probably mentioned that she's had hearings in Congress before, but they've all been behind closed doors,
right.
And nothing ever happens. So hopefully if we can get public hearings, we'll see Richard Perle and Doug Feith in orange jumpsuits before long.
Let's take a call. Dave has an interesting question for us from Eureka this afternoon. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, and I also am a big fan of Sybil. I think that we've talked before and understand I am of the belief, a certain belief, that the White House was up to their neck in bringing about 911. It served their purposes. And there's no place for an honest, competent translator, fluent in the languages of the Middle East, to be going through all of the emails and transmissions that were taking place. You would have learned what I know right now. And that's why they had to get rid of you. Well, that's my honest opinion. And you've read, Not Inside Job, you've read David Ray Griffin.
New Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 Commission, and there's a new book, Debunking the Debunkers. We'll have David Ray Griffin on the program hopefully in the next 3 weeks or so.
Oh, great. I know that Matt had tried several times to reach Jim Mars.
We have, yes, and not been successful there. Sybil shouldn't comment on your question, Dave, but let's turn to Ryan. Luke Ryland, I'm sorry. Luke, go ahead.
Right. I think the question was having trouble hearing. I think it was around whether you could have an honest FBI translator. And there was a great interview that Sybil did last week with David Swanson called, What would happen if the FBI hired an honest translator?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into that exact issue. The important the key point that we could take away from that is that Sabell's co-workers and her boss were engaged in espionage, protecting this American-Turkish council that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's documented, proven, signed and sealed.
Yes, that I know has been evaluated by Glenn Fine, the Inspector General of the Justice Department, who evaluated Sabell Edmonds' allegations and found them highly credible.
Right, but if I can give you the kicker of the story,
mm-hmm.
Her boss at the time, Mike Vergali, has been promoted, and he's now in charge of the entire Arabic desk at the FBI translation unit. He has all 300 Arabic translators working under him. So he was corrupt back in 2001 and was probably being blackmailed or bribed or one or the other.
And Luke, he's been
promoted ever since, and now he's in charge of all Arabic speakers. I mean, mm-hmm. America is obviously less safe having a compromised person in that position.
Yes. And Luke, if you can tell us, is he the same individual who would erase the hard drive of Sabell's work at the end of the day and tell her to do it again because he wanted to create a backlog so he could get a bigger budget for translation?
His argument was that he wanted a bigger budget. I have arguments, you know, doubts about that. He was apparently in the pay of this criminal network.
Mm, very interesting.
So arguing for a larger bureaucratic budget might be about the only thing that he could have, you know, fallen back on. But
right.
As far as I can read the case, that's complete nonsense.
Luke, I've got to go to a break. Can you stay with us for another segment?
Sure can.
Great. Luke Ryland in Australia, Sabell Edmonds in Washington. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Shock and awe, plus four. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. I know it's tempting to wonder, what were we thinking back in 2003? Why did Americans acquiesce to the invasion of Iraq? So, let's remind ourselves.
Imagine those 19 hijackers with other weapons, this time armed by Saddam Hussein. Take one vial, one canister, one crate. Slip into this country to bring a day of horror like none we have ever known.
We were thinking that Saddam Hussein would nuke us without a second thought.
Some have said we must not act until the threat is imminent. Since when have terrorists and tyrants announced their intentions? Politely putting us on notice before they strike.
Because Saddam was pure evil, we would seek the world's help, but we would not wait for it.
All free nations have a stake in preventing sudden and catastrophic attacks, and we're asking them to join us. Yet the course of this nation does not depend on the decisions of others.
And we knew victory was certain.
And if war is forced upon us, we will fight with the full force and might of the United States military, and we will prevail.
That's what this nation was thinking 4 years ago, and as we heard today, it's what the president still believes. Although, events have a nasty habit of adding just a touch of irony to old speeches.
And tonight I have a message for the brave and oppressed people of Iraq. Your enemy is not surrounding your country, your enemy is ruling your country.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewalls. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Sabelle Edmonds. She was fired from her job as a translator at the FBI, where she'd been hired just after 9/11 because they were desperate for people who understand Farsi and Turkish, the languages that she's fluent in. And also with us is investigative reporter Luke Ryland from Australia, who's advocating for Sabelle Edmonds. As we explained, Sabelle has to be very careful because of a federal judge's imposition of a gag order under the so-called state's secret privilege. And Sabelle, is there anything you would like to add to what Luke and I discussed in the preceding segment before we move on?
Oh, yes. I would like to actually go back and talk about the individuals that Luke Ryland named. For example, Richard Pearl, Douglas Feith, Mark Grossman, and another individual is Eric Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people here, they already know and they associate these guys with the neocons and also with Israel. But there is another element there that ties all four individuals here. If you look at, for example, Richard Pearl and Douglas Feith, these two individuals between 1988, 1989, till about 1995, 1996, they set up a lobbying firm called International Advisors, Inc.,
mm-hmm.
and they registered as foreign agents
right.
representing the government of Turkey, and this is Richard Pearl and Douglas Feith. And, of course, we know that they became the top guys with the Department of Defense after the Bush administration came into power. So, and then you look at Mark Grossman. Mark Grossman was the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Turkey between 1993 till 1997. And Mark Grossman became the number three guy under this administration in the State Department. And he resigned in 2005, and currently he is hired by one very large Turkish company that is also a front for a lot of other illicit activities. Then you're looking at Eric Edelman, who just took about 2-3 years ago Douglas Feith's old position with the Department of Defense and in Pentagon. And Eric Edelman was another ambassador to Turkey until he took this position with the, you know, in Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
So not only that these guys have Israel in common, they have Turkey in common. And people really should be paying attention to this and look into it. And this is why Luke Ryland has been doing this great, incredible job in terms of piecing these elements together, packaging it, because this information is public.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if I'm gagged on some issues. There's so much out there and so much that can easily be pieced together, which our mainstream media has failed us.
Yeah, they're not interested
in doing it. They are not, and maybe there are some other reasons that we don't know about
mm-hmm.
that occurs. I mean, a little bit of that we got a taste of during this Libby trial.
Yes, we did.
What happens behind those closed doors with these hotshot mainstream media reporters? So these are the issues that actually Luke Ryland can talk about in
mm-hmm.
details and give more information on. And he's been leading this action campaign that is sponsored by 30-plus organizations, and he's been doing a great job, extraordinary job, in piecing the various aspects of my case.
So, Luke, tell us a little more about the U.S.-Turkey connection, because one of the things that surfaces that appears to not contradict but to mitigate against this relationship is that the U.S. tried very hard to get Turkey to permit us to use Turkish bases to stage our attack on Iraq 4 years ago this week. And during the run-up, we kept increasing our bribery. I believe $5 to $6 billion was offered to Turkey to permit us to do that. And in the end, they said no. And that struck me as unusual independence from Turkey toward the United States.
That was an odd decision, and I think the Turkish government had to listen to the people. I think that 90-something percent of the population was against it, against allowing the U.S. to use Turkey as a staging ground. One of the issues that Sabel talks about is that, you know, there's an underlying governing elite in Turkey, which includes the military and a lot of drug dealers and certain politicians, that basically control what happens there. But for one reason or other, the current prime minister was able to withstand the pressure and block U.S. access to Turkey. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, I can't really answer the question, Peter.
Understood. Yes. Now, what do you know about these various relationships, including Pearl and Fife, who I'm very interested in, not only because of their neocon status, but also they were very active in the Project for a New American Century, which many of us who are critical of the Bush administration believe is the blueprint for this imperial march that they have tried to lead us on. So what more can you tell us about those connections and how they act against the interests of the American public?
Well, as you say, both of those gentlemen were involved in writing the Clean Break document for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So Pearl and Fife were both agents for Turkey, as Sabel described, but they're also agents for Israel.
Well, they worked for the campaign of Bibi Netanyahu, didn't they?
Correct, and they wrote this document, A Clean Break, which outlined a lot of the military activity that they hoped to achieve, including invading Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I think that document dates back to 1996. So they're agents of Turkey and agents of Israel, and they also have very strong connections to defense companies, particularly Israeli defense companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they make a lot of money there as well. Philip Giraldi wrote, ex-CIA agent Phil Giraldi wrote a terrific article about 6 months ago that Sabel says describes her case, 100%. And he describes how these neocons, Feith and Pearl and others, involved with Turkey, enrich themselves and distort foreign policy at the same time. Now, a lot of what he's talking about is the military-industrial complex and having the neocons taking the cream off the top of each transaction that goes through,
mm-hmm.
selling technology both to Israel and also to Turkey.
Right.
And the American-Turkish Council appears to be one of the organizations that they use to bribe Congress to make sure that these military sales go through.
Now, referencing Congress here, Luke, the information that I'm familiar with indicates that when he was Speaker, Republican Dennis Hastert received an unusual number of political campaign contributions to, I think, his leadership PAC that were in the amount of $199, which is $1 below the threshold that requires detailed reporting on who the donor is, where they work, and a few other bits of information required by our federal laws. Has anybody further investigated those bundled contributions from alleged Turkish groups that were funneled into the Hastert campaigns?
We haven't got to the bottom of that crew, the citizen...
Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
Mm-hmm. That's right, thank you. They filed an appeal for an investigation, which didn't go very far. But just to clarify what you're saying, those alleged crimes go back from 1996, not before Hastert was Speaker. And that's one of the reasons why we need hearings into Sabel's case, because mm-hmm. when you have this criminal activity, it sort of cascades and snowballs. And even though Hastert was known to be bribed not only with these campaign contributions, but also, a lot of other cash bribes you know, delivered in suitcases and brown paper bags.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back through to 1997, 98. And in 1999, Clinton tried to appoint a special prosecutor to, you know, investigate and charge Hastert and others for these crimes. That investigation got shut down, and, you know, Hastert ascended to the speakership.
Mm-hmm.
So you see this situation again and again in Sabell's case. The people who are, you know, known criminals keep getting promoted and ascended to higher and higher positions, and that gets us to a situation where we are today, when you have, you know, wars for no reason and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Now, Luke, as you look at this, some of the information that Sabell would probably provide in a public hearing, if Henry Waxman follows through on his commitment, would challenge the stories, the official stories, about what occurred in the attacks of September 11th, 2001. And this gets into a whole difficult area. It is truly a Pandora's box. Just last night over dinner, talking with some very well-informed friends, I was trying to make the case about the serious questions about Building 7 at the World Trade Center, which, of course, came down well after the other two, late in the afternoon of September 11th. And we now have this stunning video from the BBC of a real-time report at the point when the World Trade Center Building 7 actually did come down, which was approximately 5:25 p.m. on the afternoon of 9/11. The problem we have is that the BBC report precedes the event that it's reporting on by about 23 minutes. And there is a stunning shot of a reporter who is doing a stand-up, as they call it, appears to be several miles away from the World Trade Center site, but the Building 7 is still clearly visible in over her shoulder in the background of this framed picture as she is describing in the past tense that Building 7 has come down. And there are many Americans who simply cannot process this because it leads to questions about government complicity, advanced knowledge of what occurred on 9/11.
Right. Well, Sabell, as far as I know, can't talk to anything that happened with 9/11. But there are certain a lot of the information that she has does relate to 9/11. Both. You know, the covering up of information both before and after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example of before. In April of 2001, there was a an event, an interrogation, where one of the FBI's long-standing informants told them that Osama bin Laden is going to attack the U.S. With planes in four or five cities. It's going to happen in a few months, and the hijackers are all in place. I don't think many Americans know that that is the case, that they had such a specific warning. And the reason, one of the reasons that they don't know is because, you know, that particular piece of information didn't surface in the 9/11 Commission report in their missed opportunities section, which I think is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other things that Sabell knows about 9/11, for example, that didn't make the report. For example, some of the people that she was listened to on the wiretaps, I think it was the ATC, the American Turkish Council, but I'm not sure, organized passports for at least two of the hijackers. So this information has been available, but it didn't make it into the report. So The big question that Sabell has, if I can put words into her mouth, is why on earth are they covering up all this information?
Right. Sabell, what would you like to say at this juncture, please?
Well, actually, Luke did a great job, but... You know, that's one of the things that I've been trying to convey, and that is there are so many different pieces of 9/11 that has been either covered up or classified, and not everyone has access to everything. And I know about certain events and certain issues and certain pieces. Others have their own area. And what I tell people is just, take a look at the picture in general. I mean, we still have that CIA report on 9/11 completely classified, Peter. Here we are more than 5 years after 9/11, and the Inspector General, the so-called independent Inspector General, after years of investigation and questioning people and reviewing documents, they issued this report on 9/11, what CIA knew, what they did, and the entire report is classified. And then you, of course, have the Phoenix memo. And then you have Colleen Rowley's piece. And then you have Robert Wright in Chicago that had to do with Yasin Al-Qadi. And then you have what Luke Ryland just referred to, which is this documented incident that was given by a credible informant. And there are these forms. There are 302 forms that the agents have to file after they get information from their informants, from their undercover informants. And they file these 302 forms. Those 302 forms were not destroyed. They are still there in the FBI. And these agents, they reported these issues, and they gave the 9/11 Commission these 302 forms, yet it did not make it into the report. And in another case, it had to do with search and translation of information of blueprints of these skyscrapers being sent to certain regions in the border of Pakistan and Iran, and this occurred in July 2001. I don't have any information, any idea about these the building, you know, World Trade Center and the building number 7, because that was not my area. Again, my information is limited to what I'm reading, and that is basically the same thing that you are reading. But the other information and the other pieces that I have firsthand direct knowledge of, I have already documented that. I have given it in a public letter to the 9/11 Commission. After they issued their quasi report, and before that report was issued, I testified inside the SCIF. I provided them with file numbers. I provided them with the names of the agents who would be corroborating this information. Not only that, I drove some of these translators and agents who are not whistleblowers. They are not known individuals. To the commissioners, and this was by the help that I received, with the help I received from the 9/11 family members, and they testified inside this SCIF, and they gave, and these are the agents, veteran agents involved in the counterterrorism divisions of Washington field office and the headquarters. So the question is, what happened to all this information, and why are they going out of their ways to cover it?
Yeah, we got to take a break, and I'm late for it. Luke Ryland, thank you very much for your work. Thanks for joining us from Australia today, and I hope we'll talk again.
Great to speak to you. I hope everyone can call Henry Waxman's office this afternoon and tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back after a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. And do start off with a problem working. Well, we're going to cruise to Carmel Valley. It's a Ken Canyon Road at Taos Sierra. Truck went off the roadway, landed in the creek, and the CHP does remain on scene there. Looks like an investigation there. Soledad, southbound 101 at Fremont Street. A vehicle was hit by a piece of debris on the right shoulder of the off-ramp. And let's look at Santa Cruz. Just a reminder, Highway 1, the southbound ramp to Morrissey, the on and off ramps shut down 24 hours a day for roadwork scheduled through May 1st. Our support brought to you by Volvo. It is Volvo's 80th anniversary, lease in 2007 Volvo XC90, $449 per month, 24 months, $3,543 down, taxes, title, license fee extra, 877-24-VOLVO. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're at 7 minutes away from the hour. My guest, Sibel Edmonds. Learn more about her work with the National Whistleblowers Coalition at the website nswbc.org, National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, nswbc.org. And, Sibel, you want to listen in here? I'm going to make a call to Henry Waxman's office.
Oh, please.
Let's just see what happens, okay? See how they treat me. This is the Los Angeles office, 323-651-1040. Let's see how they react.
Congressman Waxman's office.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Peter B. Collins calling, and I'm on the air on my talk show here out of San Francisco. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
I just called because I wanted to lend my voice and ask you to pass the word to the congressman that I support Sibel Edmonds, and I would like him to follow through on his promise to her to hold a public hearing where she can testify under oath and in public about what she knows.
Well, great. I can certainly get in that message. We've received numerous calls today and previously regarding the same issue.
All right. And does anybody call who's opposed to it?
I have not received one yet, no.
Uh-huh. Okay. And do you have any indication that the congressman is ready to schedule such a hearing?
We have received no word in our district office here. That would be a matter to take up with the Washington office directly.
Uh-huh. Okay. What's your name, please?
My name is Doug Merkel.
Doug, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate any calls, especially those related to the Oversight Committee.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Very good. Thank
Bye.
You, sir.
Bye.
Well, Sibel, that's a pretty good reception.
It is, and I must really go on the record and say this. So far, the committee, this is the House Government Reform Committee,
mm-hmm.
has been doing a great job. I don't know if you know about it or not, but last week they finally passed this legislation in the House floor on the whistleblowers' protection. And this was a legislation, this was a bill that we've been, all our whistleblowers with our organizations and other supporting organizations such as Pogo and Gap, we've been fighting for 2.5, 3 years, and they kept blocking it and not introducing it. And Chairman Waxman kept his promise on that issue. He really pushed it hard, and he has some really good people within his staff members of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And they really pushed it hard, and it's not 100%, but by far it's the best legislation so far introduced and passed as far as whistleblowers protection goes. And that's going to go to the Senate. And, of course, it's going to be blocked there because we don't have many Democrats there who are actually supporting the whistleblowers in the Senate. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
So he's been good, and he promised this. And so far we are optimistic, we are positive, and we also believe that they need the push. They need that little last push to really do the right thing because they get a lot of different issues. They have a lot of different cases. This has been going on for 5 years, and it's not a case to be investigated. That part has already been done by the Senate Judiciary Committee, by the Department of Justice's own Inspector General's office. So it's just time to have a hearing and just put an end to it and see some oversight and accountability as a result. So as you said, it's looking good, and I'm still hopeful. And again, if your callers would please keep calling both the D.C. office and the L.A. office
and just lend your support and urge them to hold those hearings, I think we can get to the bottom of this and get it done, Peter.
The Los Angeles office for Henry Waxman again is 323-651-1040, 323-651-1040. The Washington office, they may still be manning the phones there, 202-225-3976, 202-225-3976. And Sibel, once again, I really appreciate your courage in coming forward in spending this time with us. And you don't only focus on your own issues at the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. You have attracted support from, what, over 100 whistleblowers now?
Correct. We have more than 100 whistleblowers from the FBI, CIA, NSA, Department of Defense, and the Department of Homeland Security.
Well, and there's a lot of work to be done. Even if we can, roll back some of the worst efforts of the Bush administration, some of these problems precede, to be fair, precede the Bush administration. And there's a lot of work to really pull back the curtains and bring sunshine to some of the nefarious relationships, connections, and outright criminal behavior which has occurred inside our government and remains unexposed in most cases.
Well, thank you, Peter. Again, as I said, it's always good to be on your show. And hopefully we'll have another show in the near future announcing some success here and basically a cheery conversation about, hey, maybe sometimes you'll see a little bit of justice taking place within our government, and sometimes we have representatives who are doing their jobs and representing the people.
Right. Well, I want you to testify, and I'd really like to be there. So let me know if you get word that you'll be invited.
I certainly will, Peter.
All right. Sibel Edmonds, a fine American, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone. Comment on this and other issues. Grab a line and we'll talk right now. 888-5-PETER-B. Gonzalez, on the way out.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can marry.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Officially, the White House says it hopes Alberto Gonzalez stays on, but privately, Mike Allen of Politico.com says Republican officials are looking for a possible successor. The Attorney General's resignation over the controversial firings of 8 federal prosecutors now seems inevitable.
Republican officials are not sure when the resignation will come, but they're saying now that whenever it does, it will be accompanied around the same time by the departure of his deputy, Paul McNulty, whose incomplete testimony on Capitol Hill helped touch off the crisis.
Possible replacements, says Allen, include Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff and Francis Townsend, the White House anti-terrorism coordinator. As America heads into year 5 of the war in Iraq, President Bush today tried to reassure the country that his policy is on the right track.
With Democrats pressuring for a troop withdrawal timetable, the president calls for public patience.
4 years after this war began, the fight is difficult.
More difficult than the administration expected, according to top officials, but President Bush pleaded for more time to show his latest strategy can work.
There has been good progress. There's a lot more work to be done.
He is also preparing the public for more violence, more casualties.
Prevailing in Iraq, it's not going to be easy.
Fewer than half of new troop reinforcements have arrived in Baghdad. Mr. Bush says success could take months. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
Iraq's insurgents also mark the anniversary of the U.S.-led invasion. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi is in Baghdad.
In a brutal reminder that 4 years on, the war is far from over, insurgents set off a bomb in a Shiite mosque in Baghdad during prayers today. 5 more blasts went off almost simultaneously in the northern oil city of Kirkuk, The combined death toll was more than two dozen.
The Iraqi government has asked U.S. officials for custody of Saddam Hussein's former deputy, Taha Yassin Ramadan, presumably so they can hang him. He's under a death sentence. Perhaps to avoid tilting the country, Airbus A380s landed almost simultaneously today in New York and Los Angeles. CBS's Karen Brown says these were demonstration flights for the enormous plane, which has wings nearly as long as a football field and can carry up to 555 passengers.
So far, no U.S. airline has actually purchased one of these A380s. So truly, they are coming here to try to boost U.S. interest, to try to show that it can function at U.S. Airports. It's really trying to get commercial interest from the U.S.
Singapore Airlines will take delivery of the first A380s in October. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has details of a new development in the fight against malaria.
Researchers at Johns Hopkins University used genetic engineering to breed mosquitoes that are resistant to malaria instead of carrying malaria, often from person to person. The National Academy of Sciences considers this an important step toward stopping the spread of malaria, blamed for over a million deaths every year, three-quarters of them children in Africa. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow up 115 points. This is CBS News.
Lost and found. How may I help you?
Well, I seem to be lost. I was hoping you could find me.
Find you? You're joking, right?
No, really.
Well, I'm sorry. This is Lost and Found, not Search and Rescue. What you need is a Garmin Nuvi GPS.
A Nuvi?
Yeah. You'd have all the street maps. You could look up addresses, services, you name it. Then follow the voice prompts right to the door.
Continue southeast to destination.
Gosh, I wish I had a Garmin right now.
So do I. Bye now.
Garmin, the leader in navigation. We'll take you there.
And now for the bonus round. A penny saved is a penny earned. What's in my pocket?
19 cents and a stick of spearmint gum.
Correct. Two ladies walk into a room.
A seersucker suit?
Correct. What's the affordable way to rent DVDs?
Netflix, with plans from only $4.99 a month.
Correct! Netflix! Choose your movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Plans now from only $4.99 a month and never a late fee. Start your free trial today. Netflix, it's that easy.
A new medical study confirms what many people suspected. Smoking takes a toll on the skin. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the story.
Ever check out a heavy smoker and think they're looking pretty old? Some studies have suggested smoking can age faces.
Your skeptics could potentially say, well, the face is exposed to so many other things.
So University of Michigan researcher Yolanda Helfrich studied unexposed skin and developed a scale to grade it. For people over 45, the more you smoke, the more your skin ages.
This study, really, you take the sun out of the equation.
It appears in the archives of dermatology. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
One theory on this aging effect is that smoking constricts the blood vessels, reducing blood flow to the skin. Another study out today says the stiffening of arteries caused by smoking can be reversed by quitting, but full recovery can take more than 10 years. The lead author of the study says it reinforces the message that quitting is an important step to enhance the quality and length of your life. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Brace yourselves, because I'm going to bring up a subject nobody likes to think about, buying a used car. I know, painful. Well, I've got a painless solution. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. They'll even provide a Carfax vehicle history report. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Hi, Dave. Sandy here. During the night, there's going to be a huge buildup of pressure that releases scalding hot water onto the production line. Then the plant's going to shut down for the rest of the day. So that's your tomorrow. Bye now.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So to help control your temperature, Granger's added thousands of new versatile plumbing products to help you get through the day. We're adding products and removing problems, from tempering valves to pressure-reducing valves, whatever the job takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Crank it up for the ride home. It's the PBC show. Are you ready? Are you steady?
Let's go!
We are live and well in the free speech zone here. Your calls and comments are welcome. I've got three lines open right now, and we pay for the call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Alberto Gonzalez, are you ready, steady, packing up and ready to go? Well, it appears the inevitability is setting in, and the Bush White House is quietly contacting people saying, would you like his job? Absolute loyalty required. A knowledge of the law might be helpful. And if you have a good defense attorney, you may need it before you get finished with this gig. I want to thank Gail in Coos Bay, who emailed me a few minutes back with the breaking news that she found at the Politico.com. It's brief. It says, White House seeking Gonzalez replacements. Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff could replace Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. And RawStory.com has a little bit more on it in a report that cleared just a few minutes ago. The names floated by administration officials include Chertoff, Francis Townsend, who is the White House anti-terrorism coordinator, former Deputy Attorney General Larry Thompson, and former Solicitor General Theodore Olson, whose wife, by the way, was on the plane that allegedly crashed into the Pentagon on 9/11. And the article said that, where is this article from? Let me scroll back up here. Politico, same source. And Politico says that Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty, his resignation, a virtual certainty. And now they say that even Gonzalez's resignation won't head off a full-scale Democratic investigation into the motives and timing. And to me, the big smoking gun there is that Gonzalez is vulnerable to a perjury charge. I mean, he did a Scooter Libby right there in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And that, I believe, will be the hook that they use to hang his coat and maybe things connected to it. So I think that's fascinating news, and we will, of course, watch it very closely. And if you know of news breaking, email me right away, because sometimes it helps. New York Times has a powerful piece on the editorial page today, and it lists the possible crimes that may have been violated in the termination of these U.S. attorneys. Misrepresentations to Congress. 18 U.S.C. at 1505. It's illegal to lie to Congress and to impede it in getting information. Attorney General Paul McNulty, who we just referenced, indicated to Congress that the White House involvement in firing the U.S. attorneys was minimal. Gonzalez made his own dubious assertion, I would never, ever make a change in a United States attorney position for political reasons. Another area of vulnerability legally is a part of the Sarbanes-Oxley law. Congress passed an extremely broad obstruction of justice provision, 18 U.S.C. at 1512C, which applies to anyone who corruptly obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so. Also, witness tampering, 18 U.S.C. at 1512B, makes it illegal to intimidate congressional witnesses. Michael Elston, McNulty's chief of staff, contacted one of the fired attorneys and suggested that if he kept speaking out, there would be retaliation. Firing the attorneys, if it was done to corruptly obstruct, influence, or impede an official proceeding, is a violation of the same statute at 1512C. So there appear to be many legal avenues to bring to justice the people who've been running our Department of Justice. And that is an ugly specter to see developing, but one that will play out, and we're just going to have to watch it very carefully. So if you'd like to comment on that or any of the other issues we've been discussing, I have to say that every time I talk to Sybil Edmonds, it gives me goosebumps. She is so courageous. And she knows a lot. She wants to tell it. She wants to be the best American she can. And our government so far will not permit that. And I urge you to call Waxman's office. Let me give you the numbers again. 202-225-3976 in Washington, 202-225-3976, and in Los Angeles, 323-651-1040. Just for grins, let's see if they're still manning the phones in Washington. And then we'll go right to your calls. Brian's answering the phone here today, so call in at 888-5 Peter B.
This is Congressman Henry Waxman. I'm sorry to have missed your call, but I hope you'll leave a message after the tone.
Mr. Waxman, Peter B. Collins calling from San Francisco. Just want to add my voice to those supporting Sybil Edmonds and encouraging you to come through on your commitment to hold public hearings so that she can testify under oath and tell us what she knows. Thank you very much, sir. Well, pretty cool the way he recorded his own voicemail greeting there. At first, I thought it was actually him. Oh, some people are good with their voicemail, aren't they? 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free into the free speech zone. And John in Carmel Valley, you're first. Hello, John.
Yeah, Sean Hannity today was on a big roll, not only criticizing the Democrats for trying to cut off funding, but he was contending that they were attaching all kinds of pork barrel legislation, and he mentioned to that bill, whatever they're forming right now, and he mentioned Sam Farr's name and said that about $20 million that was aimed at spinach growers was going out because of, he mentioned Farr being a liberal and contended that it was all based strictly on partisan thinking.
So are you telling me the, I think it's $25 million for the spinach industry, has that been stripped out of the bill?
I don't know at all. I'm just telling you what he was saying.
Yeah, it was in there, and I believe it still is, but I could be wrong. You know, these things can change pretty quickly as they're moving the bill through. But from what I understand, Pelosi's strategy was to put a number of issues into that bill to make it easier to pass.
I don't doubt that at all, but I want to say something to Hannity and to his support, to people who think like that. There could be a great big silver lining in this for those who do oppose the war, and that is that the longer this awful thing goes on, because it's almost unimaginable that today is the fourth anniversary of it, but if it gets progressively worse, which almost you don't need to be of any prophetic talent at all to predict that it will get worse, it will only sink the right wings, or the wrong wings, as they should be called, fortunes politically all the more. Because it's my hope that they sink so badly that they never come back politically. They don't return like they did, or at least like the Republican Party did finally after the Great Depression that they largely created. And I have one last point. There was a great point made by a libertarian you had on your show, I don't remember his name, it was over a week ago, where he said that if George Bush had been in power at the time of Pearl Harbor, he would have declared war on Iceland, and I think that can be bested. You know where Spitsbergen is?
Never been there.
Most people haven't been there. I certainly haven't been. There are a group of large islands. If you look way north of Iceland, they are one of the last outposts between where the Gulf Stream ends up, that warm current, and it goes, they're way above the Arctic Circle. They're about as ends of the earth in their location as anything imaginable. And the reason I like it is it's a one-word thing. That might make a great title for a book about this crazy-headed war. Because it's just, any way you figure it, it's going to go down as the craziest, most out-to-lunch thing this country ever did.
Could be a Leonard Cohen song in there.
Oh, any number of things.
First we take Spitsbergen.
Yes. Have a good day.
All right, John, thank you for your call. There's a lot to talk about here, and I invite you to join us. I really think that these are interesting and difficult times. When we return from the break, I'm going to talk about the latest vote that Move On members are facing and see if you want to comment on that. And also, there is some interesting dialogue underway on the Internet right now about the Holt bill, Rush Holt, who is trying to fix the electronic voting system, but many advocates believe that his measure does not go far enough. So we can talk about that. Anything else you want to discuss, bring it on. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. More of your calls straight ahead in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
That's it. And let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest and mention the fact that we do have a problem working in the, the Soledad area, southbound 101 at Front Street. It's a vehicle that was hit by a piece of flying debris on the right shoulder off-ramp. And for some reason, CHP saying they're still there. Also want to mention a problem in Greenfield, Hobson Avenue, Central Avenue. It's a crash there. CHP on the way to the scene. in Aptos, SoCal Drive at Highway 1. Two vehicle crash reported there. This report brought to you by Volvo. It's Volvo's 80th anniversary. Lease an 07 XC90. $449 per month, 24 months, $3,543. Taxes, title, license, fee extra, 877-24-VOLVO. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A little late coming back from the break here. I was distracted by my computer. Ever happened to you, huh? 888-5 Peter B. We're in the free speech zone. Most of the lines available right now, so if you call in, it'll be a short wait on hold. And we'd like to hear your views on the issues we're discussing here today. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Pose a question to you. There's an old saw in politics that the perfect is sometimes the enemy of the good. What that is tempting to say is that when you strive to get something absolutely right, you may be unwilling to compromise for a measure that would be good and incrementally moving in the right direction, but not necessarily satisfy you completely. And I want to bring up two of those issues right now. Cindy Asner is married to the actor Ed Asner. You knew him as Lou Grant, and he's done many other great parts in movies and television. They're both very committed progressives, and I get regular emails from Cindy. And one that she sent today is encouraging members of MoveOn.org to participate in the membership poll and to reject, essentially, the Pelosi proposals for ending the war in Iraq, ending U.S. Participation there. And she is encouraging people to support Barbara Lee's measure, which is going to bring U.S. troops home by the end of 2007 if it's enacted. And I support the Barbara Lee measure, but I am torn because I understand what Pelosi is trying to do. She's trying to herd the cats of Congress, including hopefully some moderate Republicans who might eventually vote to oppose the war, oppose the escalation, and support withdrawal of American forces. And so in seeking the perfect of Barbara Lee, are you prepared to reject the merely good or the flawed approach of Nancy Pelosi? I'd like to hear your comments on that. Likewise, Mark Crispin Miller is a great guy. He's a media professor at New York University, and he's very active on the web. I'm on his listserv. And he has been circulating comments somewhat along the lines of Brad Friedman's remarks about why thoughtful people oppose the Holt bill. And he's got an interesting dialogue going on in his list today with people who use that phrase about perfect being the enemy of the good, and let's get the best we can out of what is available, the Holt bill. But as many people have pointed out, as long as we entrust our elections to touchscreen machines and to optical scan tabulators, both of which can be hacked, we cannot have confidence in our electoral process or the outcomes of especially close elections. And so, again, you know, I tend to side with Brad Friedman and Mark Crispin Miller, saying we can't support a half-assed measure here because we've had stolen elections. And we can't just sit back and say, well, you know, we can fix part of it and fix this, and we have to limp along because so much money's been invested in these machines. So bring forward your thoughts on that. Seeking the perfect, accepting the good, whether it's about Iraq or electronic voting machines, where do you stand? 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number, and Peter V is on the line from Monterey County today. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
How's it going?
I would like to propose that it is not perfection, but the neocons that are the enemy of the good. And with having said that, did you hear the great illuminator this morning give his 5-minute rendition after 4 years of failure?
No, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Well, he informed us that we needed to display courage and willpower and hand him the money.
and trust
without any strings attached, without any accountability. Just give me the money, and it'll all be better in the morning. Now,
wow.
As most of your listeners know, the man is a habitual and deliberate liar.
Yeah.
And nothing that he said after 4 years of failure inspired me to either courage or willpower. And, Peter, I can't thank you enough for bringing on Sabelle Edmonds and at least getting her what little she could tell us of her story out and giving the numbers to Senator Waxman's number. I appreciate that, Peter.
All right. Have you been able to make a call?
I haven't yet. I'm going to. And the last thing, Peter, I'll leave you with this, is that what's left out of the 4 years of the war is that our state of California has sacrificed 730 of our enlisted men in this war, the highest of any of the states in the Union. And I noticed that our own governor on this four-year anniversary has not made one reference or attended any funerals or any comments about the slain soldiers in our state. Thank you, Peter.
All right. Very good comment. I appreciate that. That's Peter B. One more item here on this track of the perfect versus the merely good. There's a very interesting dispute between a veteran senator named Ted Kennedy and his son, who's a congressman, Patrick Kennedy. Patrick's the one who was out there on Ambien or some, you know, sleeping pill and crashed his car on Capitol Hill last year. But in simple terms, Patrick Kennedy is sponsoring a House bill that would provide parity, mental health coverage equivalent to other health coverage. And his father is saying that he can't support that because he's taking a pragmatic approach. He's had to compromise with industry and others just to get some ground gained in the Senate. And so we have Kennedy pair a fils, one accusing the other of, you know, overlooking the good in the pursuit of perfection. Lines are open for you right now. Give me a call, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone, and your calls and comments are welcome right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
She took me in her room. I was big and fat. Fixed me up a drink. Turned down all the lights.
And the rain's supposed to be falling down tonight along the California coast. Hope you're hunkered down and got your everything sealed up, your firewood covered. And Marianne called from Pacific Grove to remind us that rain is expected along the central coast. And if you're attending a vigil tonight on the dubious 4th anniversary of the shock and awe aerial assault of Baghdad and other parts of Iraq, you want to be properly prepared. Yesterday in San Francisco, we had a peace march, and, well, it was a lovely day, sunny and warm, and would have been a great opportunity for maybe 100,000 people to hit the streets. There were about 3,000 of us, and it was all peaceful, multi-generational. Once again, it was a protest that involved a leadership of International Answer. And I was pleased to see that despite that, there were not any anti-Semitic or other hateful messages being expressed by protesters, at least not that I saw. And I just wish that the turnout nationwide had been much bigger. About 20,000 people, I think, reported gathered in Washington despite difficult weather conditions on Saturday. And also the events were in some cities competing with St. Patrick Day parades. And that's why I think that the San Francisco march was moved to Sunday. So on the one hand, it's encouraging to be out there with like-minded people and to see the signs and T-shirts and other expressions that they offer. But it also underscores that most Americans don't care. Or do they believe that their voices can't be heard, that they are simply powerless? I'm not sure which. But I'm not going to make excuses for the people who don't speak up. And that's not to make anyone feel guilty because they didn't march over the weekend. You have your choices and you have a busy life, and I understand that when a protest march is called, you can't always just show up. But we saw incredible mobilizations before the war in January and February and March of 2003. Estimated 10 million people around the world took to the streets to send a message to George W. Bush not to invade Iraq. And if you have any thoughts about why the public is so passive, maybe you've talked to friends and loved ones who've told you that they just feel it won't do any good because nobody's listening. On the other hand, we have some signs of hope. At least there's been debate in the House and Senate about this war. And yeah, the Republicans won that vote last week in the Senate. I acknowledge that. But as recently as last year, any kind of debate about the war in Iraq degenerated into name-calling, the cut-and-run cowards of the Democratic left. And while they use Republican talking points like slow bleed, I have to say that the Republicans and those who support the war recognize now that they are in the minority. They choose their words more carefully. And I find they're doing at least a smidgen less name-calling. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join the conversation. Otherwise, I'll monologue here. I got plenty of stuff to talk about, but I do prefer the dialogue. So if you're out there and saying, I don't know if I should call, you should call. And if you've never called before, I want you to up the ante, pick up your cell phone, and call us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. New York Times did a good graph of the statistics of 4 years of war in Iraq. For example, they have little diagrams here that show where American deaths occurred in Iraq each year over the last 4 years. And the most consistent is Anbar province in the west. That's the Sunni stronghold. And if you just look at this graph, it jumps right out at you. Anbar province, over the last 4 years, has exceeded Baghdad as the site of the most American deaths. We also have displaced civilians. More than 1.5 million Iraqis have fled to neighboring countries, and another equal number, about 1.6 million, have left their homes and moved somewhere else in Iraq. Much of this is ethnic cleansing. It's Sunnis who can't live in the, you know, mixed neighborhood because it's now dominated by Shias, or vice versa. The terrorist bombing rate, if you will, crossed over in 2005. It was relatively minimal in 2003 and almost all concentrated in Baghdad. Then the incidents in Baghdad increased in 2004 and increased again in 2005 with other pockets north of Baghdad, Kirkuk and Tikrit, it looks like. And then in 2006, Baghdad increased exponentially once again. So when you look at it by the numbers, the U.S. has presided over an increasing mess in Iraq, and increasingly, we're on our own. Now, I always felt it was a unilateral invasion, but taking a page from his father's playbook, W. tried to convince us that he had a coalition. Yeah, the British had at peak about 12,000 troops there. I believe Italy had about 6,000. And when you saw the list of these non-military nations that had dispatched small numbers, small contingents to Iraq, just so they could say they had, you know, like Poland. Well, the term coalition of the billing is really quite apt. And a guy from Arizona, Storman Norman, sent me this CD a couple of weeks ago, all about Bush's phony coalition.
Put it this way, money trumps peace.
Showing pictures like Chairman Powell, referring to his UN speech with those phony PowerPoint drawings of a mobile weapons lab. Lines open for you here in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 puts you through to the program today, and your calls and comments are welcome. I want to reference John Carroll's column. John is a great guy, and we're not close friends, but we've known each other over the years. He writes for the back page of the San Francisco Chronicle, and sometimes it's about his cats or his granddaughter or very personal things. But there are 6 or 8 John Carroll columns a year when, in my view, he really nails the issue. And today is one of those. So let me read a couple of excerpts from John Carroll's column in the San Francisco Chronicle. And if you want to read it online, go to sfgate.com. So today we have the case of Angel Raich, who's been using medical marijuana since 1997 to cope with the pain of scoliosis, endometriosis, seizures, and a serious wasting disease. She says marijuana is the only thing that relieves her pain. She uses marijuana every day, even though it's against federal law. Her doctor says if she stops using marijuana, she'll die in agony. She's not fond of being a lawbreaker. She's not fond of waiting for the feds to confiscate her stash and bring her up for arraignment on felony charges. So she sued the government, contesting the ban on medical marijuana. Her case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, where her petition was denied. And let me just inject here, you probably know that California voters passed a medical marijuana law some years ago. But when the Bush administration came in, promoting the idea of states' rights, they contradicted themselves on medical marijuana in California and assisted suicide in Oregon. And this is worse than don't ask, don't tell in many respects, because people who need marijuana to relieve their pain are told by the courts, you smoke that stuff, we lock you up. Continuing with Carol's column here. Her very last constitutional challenge was denied last week when a three-judge panel of the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court, quote, reluctantly, end quote, agreed that she had no case. Actually, the reluctance part was only a 2-1 decision because Judge Arlen Beam, visiting from St. Louis, said he wasn't reluctant at all and the bad people should be punished. Here I paraphrase, John Carroll says. So on one side, seriously ill woman in excruciating pain. On the other side, comfortable judges expressing tasteful reluctance. I know if we ignore the laws, we rip the fabric of society and we can't break a law just because we don't agree with it, and we certainly can't interpret laws in order to get a desirable outcome. Except, say, for Bush versus Gore, where the Supreme Court, citing nothing at all that made any sense, made George Bush president because it wanted him to be president. And then it said, this ruling is not a precedent, it's just a thing we felt like doing. Again, I paraphrase. So it's okay to bend the rules to get a Republican in the White House, but it's not okay to bend the rules to allow a woman to avoid agony. Yeah, those are values I can live with. Of course, the illegality of marijuana has not stopped its considerable consumption in the U.S. It's just raised the price of the product and sent the profits over to criminal enterprises, even more loathsome than Merck and Seagram. The laws are not protecting society against marijuana. They're just turning cancer patients into criminals. But here's what I think, John Carroll says. I think the federal government in this case is no better than a thug. I think that prosecutors who go after medical marijuana cases are criminals, morally, if not actually. I think all the people who have participated in giving people ridiculous three-strike prison sentences for marijuana-related crimes are hypocrites and fools. It's an obvious and complete injustice. They all know it. They should be ashamed of themselves. Very powerful words from John Carroll in the San Francisco Chronicle today. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. If you have a comment, it's time to bring it on. The Free Speech Zone is here for you, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify by him before a grand jury? Doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Well, good afternoon or good evening. Let's take a look at the latest. And tell you that we do have a problem working in Greenfield, Hobson Avenue, Central Avenue. A two-vehicle crash being reported. Minor injuries as well. And going to tell you that CHP is on scene. CHP also on the scene of a problem in Soquel. It'd be Live Oak at Soquel Drive at Winkle Avenue. Two vehicles involved. Other than that, Highway 17 looking extremely well. No stalls or crashes to report there. Quick advisory for folks in Santa Cruz. South on 1, the ramp to Morrissey, the on-ramp there, the on and off-ramp shut down 24 hours a day for good old-fashioned road work till about May 1st. That support brought to you by the folks in Puerto Rico. Fly to a place where you can stroll through an authentic 16th century Spanish fort, and it's right next door. No passport required. Puerto Rico. Visit GoPuertoRico.com.
Oh. I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We're taking your call, such as it is, at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And before I go to the next call, and I will, I just wanted to mention one other item that caught my attention in the news today. Governor Schwarzenegger has a very favorable image now among most Californians. And it is amazing how far he's come since the debacle of 2005, the November ballot measures that all went down in flames. And he's reinvented himself in many respects. But one of the barometers I use to evaluate this governor is his approach to life prisoners. Now, I've been involved with a group over at San Quentin Prison for a long time, and I've come to know some guys who have been there for 25 or 30 years. They're called lifers. They were originally sentenced under a scheme that, created the expectation if they were good boys in jail that they would eventually get out after serving a minimum part of their sentence. And thus, people were sentenced to 7 to life, 15 to life, 12, just whatever the judge decided. But that original sentence benchmark was the point at which they would have been paroled if the system hadn't been politicized. Well, the low point in recent history was under Democrat Gray Davis. In 5 years, he let 5 people, life prisoners who qualified for parole, get released from prison. And when Schwarzenegger took over, there was a modest improvement. In 2004, he permitted 72 life prisoners to be released by the parole system. That was his high watermark. Then in 2005, as he geared up for the special election, he only let 35 go. Last year, it was down to 23 as he sought re-election. And so far in 2007, despite a huge overcrowding problem and his efforts to send prisoners to other states to serve their sentences, he's only allowed 4 lifers to be released. Now, there are 22,000 of these guys. Most of them are over 40. Many of them are over 50. Some of them are over 60. And it is senseless to keep them locked up because this is the group least likely to reoffend. And the reason Schwarzenegger has changed is because of the prison guards union. When he hired Susan Kennedy as his chief of staff, she brokered a deal with the CCPOA. That's the union that represents prison guards. And that's when his attitude changed toward the parole of life prisoners. I hope now that he is free of electoral politics, he's going to get to serve out this term and then he's done, that he can return to a more balanced approach to the fate of life prisoners. Billy's on the line, bailing me out from Capitola. Hello, Billy.
Hello, line one, Peter B. from Marin. What do you want to talk about today? Hi, buddy.
Oh, I'm doing okay. It's funny, some days the phone lines are jammed and you can't squeeze everybody in.
Exactly.
And
right.
Other days, people maybe had a better offer or they're, getting ready for the final, the Sweet 16 and the Final Four and all that.
It's all the beautiful weather we're getting. Nobody wants to be inside by their radios.
Yeah, it's true.
So John Carroll, he does two kinds of columns. He does these columns about cats that couldn't interest me at all, and then he does columns that are so gripping and they can bring you to tears.
Yeah.
I recommend him.
Yeah, as soon as I tell it's a cat column, and I have a, you know, adequate relationship with cats. I'm allergic to them, but I actually like them. I don't particularly care to read about him, though, especially somebody else's cats.
No, because we know how well he can write about things, other things.
Yeah.
I'm sort of disappointed when he writes about cats.
Yeah, but when he really gets going on a political issue, he I think, is a very wise man who offers very strong and credible opinions.
It's about the only reason to get that newspaper anymore.
You're right. You know, it's interesting. Kathy and I were talking. We're thinking of actually making some major changes at the house and acknowledging the creep of technology. For example, I'm thinking about disconnecting my home phone line because anybody who wants to reach me now calls my cell phone.
Yep.
And I'm paying Comcast or one of those jokers, I don't know, $40 a month.
We just sort of hang on to it like our binky, you know. It's security, we think, somehow, having that landline counts.
Right. We got a fax line at home, and we actually took a look, and we end up paying about $400 a year for the privilege of having a fax at home, and everybody emails now.
Exactly. Oh, and the kids aren't going to be reading newspapers at all. So, I mean, you know, they've only got 20 years of real use left to them, and it's going to be 20 disappearing years. Our local paper doesn't even print here anymore. They're printing over in San Jose. They fired all the printers.
Oh, really? The Herald?
Sentinel.
Okay, because the Herald was purchased by the Chronicle, the Hearst Corporation.
The Monterey Herald, yeah.
Yeah, have they made any cutbacks there?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to say, Billy, that giving up the physical newspaper will probably be very hard for me.
Yep, because it's the form of it that we so enjoy.
Well, and also, I'm not completely, you know, a photo memory guy, but I can, for example, you know, I read John Carroll's column this morning, and I can look at it again, and I can find those quotes that I wanted to pull out. But when it's on a computer screen, it's just not the same. You know, it's all over the place, and I got 14 windows open, and I can't find the juicy quote I want. But this little piece of paper right here, it's got what I need.
They're going to find a way to make that even more user-friendly. It'll just take a while. We'll just be a little older by the time they figure it out.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Sunshine, thanks for your call today. I'm now out of time.
But we didn't get to talk politics. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, Billy. Thanks. I'm Peter B. Thanks for joining us today. Brian Urban answered the phones.
Happy trip.
Katrina Rill is our producer. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com. Access to our archives, the live stream, pictures of yours truly. Hey, join me again tomorrow right here, okay?
Keep smiling.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration reportedly has started looking for the next attorney general. Mike Allen of Politico.com says Republican officials at the behest of the White House are seeking a possible successor to Alberto Gonzalez. Does this mean Gonzalez is finished for sure?
With this White House, you never know. And Attorney General Gonzalez is one of the closest officials to the president. He's one of the few original Texans. But when your boss starts sounding out your possible successor, that certainly isn't a good sign.
Among the names on the list of prospects is Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, a former federal judge, and former Solicitor General Ted Olson. Late today, the Justice Department turned over some 2,000 pages of internal emails as Congress investigates the firings of eight U.S. attorneys. President Bush marked the fourth anniversary of war in Iraq with a statement at the White House. He said it will take months, not days or weeks, for the new security plan to succeed.
Until Baghdad's citizens feel secure in their own homes and neighborhoods, it will be difficult for Iraqis to make further progress toward political reconciliation or economic rebuilding.
He warned Congress against setting a deadline for withdrawal, saying that would have devastating consequences for America's security. In a CBS News interview today, U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad was asked about the new strategy and what's Plan B.
I think Plan B is to make sure that Plan A works.
I'm Cammie McCormick. The key focus of the months ahead will be not just securing Baghdad, but the area around it, particularly to the south, where weapons are being smuggled in.
Devices to make both the explosively formed projectiles and the improvised explosive devices. A lot of those materials come from the south, southeast.
And Brigadier General Joe Anderson says that will be where the next surge of troops is located.
That's where that brigade is going to operate in much more robust fashion.
They could arrive within the next 2 months. After that, additional troops could head to Diyala province, north of Baghdad, where violence has been on the rise.
Bombings in Baghdad and Kirkuk today claimed at least 26 lives. 12-year-old Boy Scout Michael Aubrey is still missing in the heavily wooded mountains of western North Carolina.
We've had no clues today as we've searched for him, no additional information, and the rescuers have still not found this young man.
Tina White of the National Park Service says it won't be as cold tonight. The other half of the record Mega Millions lottery jackpot was claimed today by a New Jersey couple. Lottery